The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. I'm Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the top 8 ways to impress your basketball coach. If you are a youth, middle school, or high school player and you're looking to make your team or improve your standing on your team, we feel like these 8 tips are going to be a great value to you as you head into your tryouts, as you head into your off-season workouts, as you head into your summer camps. We really feel like these are going to be things that can really help you to impress your coach and improve your position on the team. Number one, when your coach is talking, listen and pay attention. Now, that doesn't really sound like rocket science, Jason, but I think one of the things that, as a coach, that I've noticed over the years is that kids have gotten significantly worse at this one. And it may seem like a super simple thing, but it just seems like kids have shorter attention spans. And if you can learn as a player to make eye contact with your coach while they're talking and then nod your head when they're done talking or say uh-huh or yes or something, I think it conveys a message to the coach that you've actually heard what's being said and that you might really try to do it.
I think, though you may not think it's rocket science, a lot of times when I'm talking to players, it seems like I'm trying to split an atom, and I don't necessarily know what's going on in their heads, because I'll tell them to do one thing, or I show them. I'll even demonstrate the drill that I'm running in practice, and they have no clue what's going on. And that's the thing that drives me the most bonkers of anything, is I literally just demonstrated the whole drill. Now, I'm not talking about like a second or a third grader, because their level of basketball aptitude is much lower than that of a seventh and eighth grader. I'm talking the seventh and eighth graders that are trying out for a basketball team, and I literally show them a drill, and they just don't seem to be paying attention at all. And I think that's really important for them to pay attention and, like you said, make eye contact, because that's the biggest thing. You know, when I'm a teacher as well, and the big thing that I always say is eyes look up on me at all times. Like, I want to know that you're paying attention. And a lot of times they're looking around the gym, looking at what's going on. You know, it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, I'll tell players or students that, you know, you can pay attention. It is possible to pay attention without looking directly at the person. But the message that you're sending to your coach or to your teacher when they're speaking to you and you're looking up at the ceiling or you're staring down at your shoes, the message that you're sending is, hey, I'm not really listening, and what you're saying
is, I'm not interested.
Right, isn't important. And so if you can just learn to make that eye contact and look right at your coach or look right at your teacher and then try to take what they've said and actually do it, boy, you're ahead of 99% of the players and students that are out there. And I think that's critically important. And then the last thing I'll say on this topic here is one of the things that I try to share with my players that I coach, especially in the summer, like an AAU team, and when they go back to their school teams to try out, is just to make sure that when they're out there that they're concentrating and that they're not focused on what maybe they have a friend who's a little bit silly and is standing in line goofing around. And I always tell them, try to stay away from the people who are going to drag you down and draw your attention away from the things that you're supposed to be listening to. And I think that's a really important point for kids who are going to a tryout, is to make sure that the coach knows that you're taking things seriously and you're listening and you're paying attention, and that the people who are goofing around are not the people that you're hanging around with or that you want to be associated with. And I think that's critically important.
All right, so the second way to impress your basketball coach would be to hustle at all times. And this also is very vital when it comes to practice and game situations. You know, how you practice is how you're going to play. You know, we've talked about it before. You know, if you go out and just kind of go through the motions and you're just kind of showing up to show up, you know, your coach is going to notice, and they're going to be like, well, that they're not trying their hardest in practice, so I maybe shouldn't give them as many minutes. You know, I'm one, when I coach, if I see you're just taking plays off in practice, I'm like, well, what's going to stop him from doing that in a game? You know, if we're running a scrimmage and you're going 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 and you're not giving it your all, you know, then obviously if you don't even want to do a scrimmage, then how am I going to know you're going to want to do the game? And same thing, specifically the drills, you know, kids kind of go out there and they don't hustle. You know, I can't teach you how to hustle. You have to want to do it. You have to want to be running out there. You want to dive on the floor, get loose balls. You know, I can't teach you to do that. I can show you how I would do it, but I can't physically teach you how to do that.
Yeah, I think that's something that comes from deep inside a player. And if you don't do that, you're just, again, you're sending a message to your coach. I mean, everything that you do sends a message. And when you're not hustling, the message that you're sending is, hey, this drill or this practice or this game isn't that important to me. And when a coach gets that message, they tend to look for other players that they can fill in for the spot that you're competing in, that you're competing for. And hustle, again, goes back to it's something that I've said numerous times, and I say it to my team all the time, is, you know, you have to control the things that you can control. And there's some things that are out of our control. We can't control how good our opponent is. We can't control whether or not every shot goes in. We can't control whether we're having a great day or a bad day in certain instances. But what we can control is how hard we work and how much we hustle. And it doesn't take any talent at all to give your best effort. And so you want to make sure that for things that don't require basketball talent, that you are absolutely maximizing those to 100% of the ability that you have. And hustle is just something that, to me, it's a non-negotiable when it comes to being a member of a team. Our next way that you can impress your basketball coach is to be the best at something on your team. And this is something that I think sometimes is overlooked, but if you're a coach and you're looking for a way to put together your team, and you see someone out there who's at your tryout who maybe doesn't have the best ball handling skills, maybe they're not the best defender, but this player is a knockdown shooter and they can bang home threes and they can shoot when they're wide open, you almost are guaranteed that shot's going to go in. I can pretty much tell you that coach is going to pick that player who's the best shooter. Conversely, if you have somebody who's the best rebounder or the best passer or the best defender or the best ball handler, if you have one skill that you're far and away better than everybody else on your team or everybody else at your tryout, I think there's a very, very good chance that you'll be able to make that team. And just imagine if you were the best shooter and you also had a ton of other skills, or you're the best defender and you also had a ton of other skills. It just makes you so much more attractive to a coach in a tryout situation if you can be the best at something on your team.
I look back at this past season. I had a kid on my team who I noticed was substantially better than anyone defensively on my team. And, you know, he wasn't the best offensive player and definitely wasn't the best ball handler, but his defense was superb. And, you know, all season, you know, because he was such a great defender, I put him in close situations and tight situations because I relied on his defense. And throughout the season, he improved on every other facet of his game because he was getting those experiences and getting that time on the floor. So if you get better at one skill, you know, and the best player on the team in one skill, then you're going to earn that opportunity to play in those crunch time minutes, even if you aren't the greatest shooter and your team needs to score, because they're going to rely heavily on your defense and your defensive ability.
Yeah, coaches will find a way to play you. If you have one dynamic skill that stands out from all of your teammates, and that's something that your coach values, you're going to find yourself getting a lot more minutes than maybe the rest of your skill set might deserve, simply because the coach needs somebody. Hey, I need somebody out there who can pass the ball and get the ball to our best shooter. Man, I need somebody to lock down the best offensive player on the other team. Or I need somebody to grab this critical rebound. And if you can be one of those players that has those skills, it just gives you a leg up on everybody else on your team as far as earning playing time and earning a spot on the team.
All right, the fourth way to impress your coach is to communicate. And I think this is really important, especially in the defensive end of the basketball game floor. You know, having the ability to talk through situations and know what's going on. Screens coming in your right, screens coming on your left. Making sure you're clear with your direction and your communication, because a lot of times kids think they're communicating, but they're not really doing a good job communication. And you know, that doesn't just pertain to the basketball floor, that pertains to everywhere. But primarily, you know, what a coach is looking for is someone who's good at communication and thorough with their communication, but at the time short and to the point, because you don't want to be long-winded. You want to be able to give positive reinforcements for certain situations as well, like great shot, nice pass, you know, way to lock that defender down while you're playing in the game as well.
Yeah, I think communication is probably one of the weakest skills for particularly youth teams up into middle school. I think when you get to high school, you start to see a little bit better communication. But one of the things that I'm always struck by, and I always try to get this point across to my team as I'm coaching, is that you have to communicate. If you go and you listen to a college basketball game, when I mean listen, I don't mean listen to it on the radio. I mean if you get close enough where you could sit near the floor of a college game at whatever level, or even a high school game, you'd be amazed at the amount of communication and talk that's going on. And a lot of times I'll find myself, if I step into a drill at practice and I'm doing something, and I'll find myself talking nonstop. And not only do I talk on defense, but I also find myself, you know, I'm talking on offense. Hey, move there, cut, or I'm open, or whatever the case may be. And I'm talking pretty much the whole time while I'm playing. And then I watch some of my players play, and they're dead silent. And a lot of times I'll tell them, look, I should not be the loudest person here in the gym. I should hear your voice. And I think one of the things that we forget sometimes as coaches is that kids don't always know what it means to communicate. And so one of the things that I try to do is to give them examples of, look, this is what good communication is. This is what good communication is not. And when you really give them examples, like you said about calling the screens and the direction of a screen, and what I find is that in situations like that, a lot of times, even if you can get kids to say the right thing, they'll often say it at a volume that makes it impossible for their teammates to hear in a crowded gym. And so it's really important that you model what to say, and then even more importantly, how to say it and what the volume is. And communication is just, it's so critically important. And at the high levels of basketball, players are communicating constantly, constantly, because there's no way to play good defense or offense without that type of communication. And when you get down into the lower levels of basketball, all of that disappears because everybody's kind of trapped in their own game and trying to figure things out, and they're not necessarily interacting as well with their teammates through communication. I think if we could teach our players to communicate, even if we just get them to do the most basic types of communication and do it at a volume that their teammates can hear, I think that would be tremendous. And as a player, if you communicate on the court, if you're the player that the coach can hear out on the court with positive comments and trying to direct teammates of where to go and what to do and what's about to happen, you're going to stand out incredibly well from other players, because simply, again, most players, especially at the younger ages, aren't communicating at all.
I think that also pertains to the generational situation that we have right now with these kids and their phones, and like, the face-to-face communication is terrible. I mean, I see it in, I teach fourth grade, I see it all the time. They don't know how to communicate with one another because they're on their iPads or they're doing this and doing that. Whereas now it's, you know, back when I was a kid, I won't talk about when you were a kid, but back when I was a kid, you know, what did I do? I went and played outside and had full-blown conversations with people. These kids now, they're texting, they're doing all those other Snapchat things, and they don't have that baseline communication, let alone then translating that onto the basketball floor. And I think that's a huge issue that, you know, I see now that wasn't present when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I agree. So again, if you want to impress your basketball coach, communicate out on the floor with your teammates. And if you do that, I guarantee you'll stand out from the other players on your team. Number five of the 8 ways to impress your basketball coach is don't let mistakes affect your effort. And what we mean here is, let's say you're in a game or a practice and you miss a shot. How do you react to that? Do you stand at the other end of the floor and complain? Do you make faces? Do you slump your shoulders? Do you stand? Or do you make a mistake and then sprint back on defense after you miss that shot and hustle him back into the play? And I think that is something that if you're a player and you can will yourself to be able to react to mistakes in a positive way by hustling and getting yourself back into the action, you're going to be much better off than the player who pouts or throws up his arms or whines about foul calls. And I think one of the things that I've seen talked about a little bit on social media that I find to be pretty interesting, there's a lot of different youth basketball leaders that I see out there texting and making comments about about the NBA game and the fact that every time the whistle blows, the player, the foul was called upon, almost never thinks they committed that foul. And so they throw their arms up in the air, they make a face, they do some kind of, you know, pout or comment. And I've seen these, you know, different commentaries talking about how if the NBA really wanted to improve youth basketball, one of the things they could do is crack down on that type of behavior. And I really think that's true. It's a rare time where you see a whistle blow in the NBA and there's not at least one player with their hands up in the air or rolling their eyes or making some kind of a face. And it's really something that it's a bad habit for players to get into, because again, if you're complaining to the official, you're not getting back on defense and helping your team, or you're just hurting your team by doing things like that.
And I think that really goes back to a point we made in the previous podcast about being resilient, you know, coming back from a mistake or coming back from something that bad that happened. You know, bad quarters are going to happen, bad halves are going to happen, bad games are going to happen, but it's how you react that really defines the player you are and what kind of player you're going to end up being.
Absolutely. I think it's critically important to make sure that when you do make a mistake, that you react to that by hustling back into the play and not letting one play affect the next, and not turning one mistake into a second mistake.
All right, sixth way to impress your coach is to be a leader. And this also was kind of covered in our previous podcast, but I think it's really important that if you're going to impress your coach, you need to be a leader. You know, you want to exemplify the behavior that the coach exemplifies and also what teammates should do. You know, if you are going to impress the coach, you have to be the leader of the team or one of the leaders of the team. Because if you're just sitting there watching what's going on, you know, it's not going to happen. You need to be leading by example. You need to be doing exactly what the coach asks you to do. You need to be enthusiastic. Just because a drill is not your cup of tea, you know, you need to go through the motions and do what you're supposed to do. And you don't want to just kind of show up and kind of be blah. You want to... If you want to impress the coach, put forth full effort, hustle, do everything that they're asking you to do.
Yeah, I think being a leader comes down to what we talked about before, which is controlling the things that you can control. So I can control the level of enthusiasm that I bring every day to practice. I can control the level of effort I bring every day to practice. I can control the type of attitude that I have every day in practice. And when I do that, I'm demonstrating leadership. I'm showing the coach.
It's going to rub off.
Absolutely. I'm showing the coach that, look, these are the things that I'm bringing to the table every single day. My coach sees that. My teammates see that. And when my coach sees it, I guarantee that any coach is going to be impressed and feel like, boy, I've got a leader on my team, somebody who brings those things, that effort, that attitude, that hustle every single day. And that's a person that I want on my team, and that's a person I want in my starting lineup. Number seven, show up early. I think this is something that sometimes gets lost in the idea of what it means to really impress your coach. And obviously, if you're a young kid, you don't have sometimes the opportunity to show up early. If your mom or your dad is driving you to practice and they're getting you there on time and you're there when practice starts, that's about all that can be expected. But if you're a high school player and you have the ability to drive a car and get to your practice on time, or you're a college player, you know, show up before practice. Show up early. Put some time in. Work on something that maybe is a weakness that you can make better, or work on a strength and make it even stronger. And I think that's really where I saw something the other day, a quote that said that great teams are made in practice, and great players are made before practice. And I thought it was a good way of kind of, you know, summarizing the idea that, look, if you want to come in and get up an extra 100 shots or an extra 200 shots or work on your ball handling, if you do that in the 10 or 15 minutes before practice starts, you'd be a lot better off. And I think back to my time playing, and to be honest, I don't really remember in high school having the opportunity to show up much early, because pretty much every day we practiced after school. But I know in college, there were lots of practices where, you know, the gym was open. I could have showed up early and didn't, and probably didn't take advantage of the fact that, you know, I could have spent more time working on some of my weaknesses and trying to improve in the time before practice. If I think back to that time then, I guess I always felt like I needed to conserve energy for the two or two and a half hour practice that was coming. But again, if you look back at it, it's one of the things that I regret, that I didn't put in more time during the season. Pretty much when the season was going on, I went to practice, practiced, it ended, and then I went back to my dorm and my apartment, and that was pretty much the extent of it, and saved all my opportunities to improve for the off season. I know if I had been a player that had shown up 15 or 20 minutes early and was out on the practice floor getting extra work in, I can almost guarantee that my coach would have been thrilled and impressed by that, and just like any coach would.
And you know, I look back on some of my teams that I've coached in the last few years, and you know, we start practice pretty much right after school. We have practice, you know, school day ends at 3:30. They start practice at 3:45, 3:50. But I can tell you the kids that improved the most throughout the season are the ones that got to the locker room, got changed, and got immediately out on the floor, and you know, got shots up beforehand, as opposed to the players that kind of hung out in the locker room just to gossip or talk about their school day or boys and girls. You know, they focused on the basketball, so the aspect are the ones that improved the most. So I think it's really important, you know, maybe if you can't show up early, make sure you're showing up on time for sure, you know, because that shows the coach that you're dedicated, and if I have to come and get you for the locker room, I'm not going to be pretty pleased.
Absolutely.
And the last way to impress your coach is to be confident. I think this is one thing, you know, that it's the hardest thing to kind of delineate between confidence and cockiness. And there's a lot of times there's players that are overconfident, and that leads to the cockiness, and they think they're the best at everything, and when in fact they are not. So I think it's really important to have kind of a confidence that, you know, I can do this. If I put my mind to it, I can do this. If I try hard, if I work hard, I can do this. But at the same time, you know, not being like, oh, I'm the greatest thing that's ever walked into this gym. I'm going to be great at shooting. I'm going to score 50 points tonight. I think having realistic goals and having confidence in yourself is important. But at the same time, there is a difference between confidence and cockiness. And a lot of times the youth, at least specifically in the middle school level, these kids are sometimes a little on the cocky side as opposed to the confident side.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference between real, true confidence in yourself and sort of that false confidence, and which is, I think, what you're describing as cockiness, of walking around and strutting around like I'm the greatest thing that you know, has ever walked onto a basketball court, versus somebody who has real confidence. And I think the difference is that people who have real and true confidence are people who have put in the time to build their skills. And if you've put in the time to build your skills, then chances are you're going to be confident. I think one of the things that I always find interesting is parents will come to me and they'll say, he just needs to be more confident. And if little Jimmy was just more confident, he could score more points, or he could get more playing time, or he'd be a starter, or, you know, the coach would like him more. If he could just, you know, I know he has it in him. He just needs more confidence. And a lot of times when those conversations take place, what I really try to say to parents is that your child doesn't need more confidence. They need more skill. And if they had more skill, they would end up being more confident, because then they could do some of the things that you might see them do in a practice where there's nobody there or in an empty gym. It's a lot different to do it when there's some pressure and you're going against an opponent or you're in a game or whatever the case may be. So I think it's very, very important that we understand that where confidence comes from is putting in the time to build your skills. And if you don't have skills, then you shouldn't be confident. is the reality. If I haven't put in any time working on shooting three-pointers, I shouldn't be confident enough to take them. And if I haven't put time in handling the ball, then I shouldn't want to dribble the ball up against the press. And unfortunately, what you were describing is you have a lot of players who have this false confidence where, for whatever reason, they have tricked themselves into believing that their skill and confidence level is much higher than it is. And I think true confidence, again, comes from that skill development piece that, you know, the time you put into the game ends up translating into confidence.
I really think it's going back to the realistic expectations for yourself. You know, you can have realistic expectations and also be confident. And I think that's really, really important, because, you know, if you go into the game saying, all right, my goal today is to score 7 points, get a few rebounds, get a few assists, that's probably a realistic goal, especially, you know, in the youth game. You know, we're not seeing kids score 25 points in a youth middle school basketball game very often. So I think really having realistic expectations is really important.
So those are the top 8 ways that we feel you can impress your basketball coach. So the next time you're headed into a tryout or you're just getting into your season and you're trying to figure out a way that you can get your coach's attention, earn some more playing time, or get a starting role on your team, we hope you'll refer back to the podcast and listen to the top 8 ways to impress your basketball coach. Just to review our top 8 ways to impress your basketball coach. Number 1, when your coach is talking, listen and pay attention. Number 2, hustle. Number 3, be the best at something on your team. Number 4, communicate. Number 5, don't let mistakes affect your effort. Number 6, be a leader. Number 7, show up early. And number 8, be confident. Again, those are the top 8 ways to impress your basketball coach. Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.